You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
For a Wednesday, August 30th edition of the Gym Class, we welcome you in to our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, the Circus Sports Iowa studios. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. And, of course, you are great listeners out there. As our afternoon local block of programming gets underway, we'll be followed by Spencer on Sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock today. And, of course, we get at it tomorrow morning at 6:30, bright and early, with the Todd Brommelkamp Show that runs from 6:30 until 9. Good show coming up today for you. We will talk to Chris Liss of Real Man Sports and talk fantasy football with Chris coming up in just a little bit. You have a question about your upcoming draft, a draft that you have already conducted, and you're maybe curious about it, worried, I don't know, worried or curious. You pick whatever word you want to use. Get those questions ready to go for Chris. We'll talk with him in about a half an hour or so. Plenty of college football coming up as the inaugural week of the 2023 season getting underway, including Thursday night games. We're going to take a look at those, especially a big one in the Big Ten. So we will talk about that coming up with you as well. And everything on your mind in the world of sports. 319-366-1600 is the text line. That is the phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today. Always appreciate you chiming in out there. Our great listeners here on 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every day. They are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program. They are online at DuPaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Again, 319-366-1600 as Mark joins me here from the southwest side. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Scott. Good afternoon to you, and I believe Isaac's back today, right?
He is.
And everyone else out there. Really looking forward to the weekend and talking with Chris Liss. And we'll have an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard at the bottom of the hour.
We will. We will. And speaking of our good friends at Eagles Hideaway, and they are located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, our first edition of the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6 coming up on Friday. Panel will get together, you, me, Spencer, Dave Alec from Emels. Looking forward to that. Somebody is going to win a $30 gift card to Emels Hideaway. So one of the great traditions of KGYM back. I have no idea how many years we have done this, Mark, but it has been a long time.
It has, and it's been a lot of fun. And you are the defending champ. We attempt to dethrone you this year. But interesting slate of games for Friday. Can't pick that Minnesota-Nebraska game and some others, but still a little bit to chew on come Friday.
Yeah, some good games. We'll take a look at those coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Also talk a little baseball as yeah, it's still baseball season, everybody, even though football is getting underway on the college side in earnest this week. NFL coming up next week. And some big games today. Some tie-breaking rubber games for the Central Divisions. And we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Again, 319-366-1600. Isaac is back. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. You more learned than yesterday?
Depends on yesterday. I didn't feel like I was absorbing as much as I should, but it is what it is.
You didn't sleep during class.
No,
did you?
No, nothing like that. It's just some of the stuff goes right over my head sometimes. And I don't want to say like in one ear, out the other, cause I'm paying attention. It's just some of it is hard to understand.
Don't expect Mark and I to help you out because we are probably not going to understand. If you don't understand it, we are not understanding it. So,
especially in my case, if it was a Western civilization class, the only class I ever dropped in college.
You know, have you ever dropped a class, Isaac?
I don't think so. No, not that kind.
The only class I ever dropped in college was a journalistic law class.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that would be really technical and tough.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. Right now, the one that I am struggling with some of the ideas is business of sport communication.
The business?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the business side of kind of us.
Now, that sounds very intriguing.
It's interesting. It's just some of it's really complicated things that goes way over my head.
The
sometimes.
Curriculum has to be changing every day, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's stuff
NIL is coming around.
Right. Mm-hmm. He covers, like, current topics pretty much every day, something like at the beginning of the class that just happened, things like that.
Crazy. That's got to be tough to teach. 319-366-1600 here on the program today. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, we have football coming up this week, starting on Thursday night. A few interesting games. Florida-Utah is going to be Thursday night from Salt Lake City, and that will be on ESPN. That is coming up Thursday evening. Other than that, North Carolina State, UConn has been bad for a long, long time. The marquee game, Mark, is in the Big Ten, and that is coming from Minneapolis, Huntington Bank Stadium. It'll be the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And even though this is going to be a game that is going to be played on August the 31st, there is going to be a ton riding on this game, in my opinion anyway, as far as the Big Ten West is concerned, because most people are picking Wisconsin. Some people have Iowa winning the Big Ten West. Nebraska, Minnesota, and Illinois are the trendy, sexy picks by some people out there. So you've got two of them playing right out of the chute. Nebraska with a brand-new coaching staff with Matt Rhule. A lot of transfers coming in. Can Minnesota finally pull through, get through, break through as far as the Western Division is concerned in its last year of existence? Can PJ Fleck take this team to the next level? I am really intrigued by Thursday night football in the Big Ten from Minneapolis.
Yeah, especially this one, a potentially impactful game in the West and in the Big Ten. Minnesota really had a nice year last year at 9-4, won a bowl game. And Nebraska, minus Matt Rhule, 4-8 and lost five games that were one-score games. So now Rhule is in. 63 new players on the Nebraska roster. And, Scott, I think this as much as anything, for various teams, you've got so many guys coming in through the portal, what have you. Sometimes it's hard to handicap, but looking forward to tomorrow night's game.
Those people that kind of underestimate what PJ Fleck has done so far as coach of the Golden Gophers, interesting tidbit here. He has 3 9-win seasons in his tenure. That is the second most in Minnesota history. Now, you go back to, you know, those great Gopher teams of what, the 30s and 40s, et cetera, Barney Bearman, as Beano Cook used to talk about. They didn't play as many games, obviously, but PJ Fleck, I think, is up there as far as Minnesota coaches are concerned. But he hasn't yet to take that next step. He hasn't beaten Iowa. Hawkeye fans know that. Hawkeye fans remind Gopher fans of that. Especially the week of the Floyd Rosedale game a lot. How is Minnesota going to come out? They've got some weapons. And for Nebraska, they've got, as you mentioned, over 60 new players. Jeff Sims is expected to start for the Big Red. He is a transfer from Georgia Tech. there's just a lot of things on the line, because take a look at this. If you're Minnesota, you lose at home to Nebraska on that very first night. I mean, that does not set a very good precedent as far as the Gophers possibly winning or contending for the Big Ten West. There's still a long way to go. But this is one of the games you need to win. And as far as Matt Rhule and Nebraska is concerned, if they come out of the gate and get a victory here, they've been off to such slow, sluggish starts in the past. If they come out of the gate and get a victory, get a win like this in Matt Rhule's first game, then who knows? Maybe they are the trendy pick.
Yeah, Sims could be a difference maker for Nebraska. Minnesota has Kelly Akmanis at quarterback in place of Tanner Morgan, who's since gone on to better things, maybe. I don't know. But I don't think you could, like P.J. Fleck or not, you can't discount what he's done. You mentioned the 9-win seasons, 4 bowl games in 6 years, but it's taking that next step that is pretty difficult with Wisconsin and Iowa, and Illinois is going to be a factor this year, I think. So important for either team or both teams to go off to a good start here.
What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you on the text line. Again, 319-366-1600. 8699 says, if Nebraska wins tomorrow night, the noise from that state will be almost unbearable. Oh, yeah, they're going to crow. If Nebraska wins that game in Minneapolis on the road, it's going to be, you know, just this side of Bob Devaney or Tom Osborne for this team. And they're not the only fan base to do that. Trust me. Trust me on that one. But it might kickstart Nebraska if they can possibly get that win tomorrow night.
It may, but I think Matt Rhule understands that this team that it puts on the field tomorrow night against Minnesota may not be as good as the one that finishes the season. I don't know. Once again, Nebraska wasn't that far off last year. Just a string of situations, losing a handful of one-score games that could have, you know, turned things around, but probably no hungrier fan base in America than Nebraska fans right now.
5 games by 1 score. Just think, if Nebraska wins 3 of those games, they're 7-5. They're going to a bowl. Is Scott Frost still in Lincoln? Question mark? I don't know. That remains to be seen. I guess it just depends when those 3 games hit. If you put them in the column on the left, when they occurred, was it early in the season or late in the season? Gophers had a 9-win season last year, if you recall. They won their bowl game, I believe, beat Syracuse last year, and I think that was Pinstripe Bowl up at Yankee Stadium, if my memory serves me correct. So, you know, it's a Minnesota team that is going to have no Mo Ibrahim for the first time in a handful of years. That's going to look weird in its own right. But the Gophers are going to find somebody that can run the ball, and they will need to run the ball. They're a run-first team to set up the pass, and then P.J. Fleck puts a little bit of window dressing on things and makes that look pretty good as far as the passing game is concerned.
86-99 on the text line. If Nebraska wins tomorrow night, the noise from that state will be almost unbearable, as you said, Scott.
Yes. Cyclone Tim saying, talking Minnesota and Nebraska, yuck, can both teams lose? LOL. Nope, no ties anymore, Cyclone Tim. No ties anymore. 319-366-1600. Great way to start, though, Big Ten slate. And I think we're going to see more conference games starting things off. Iowa-Indiana played a couple years ago when Michael Penix was at the quarterback slot for Indiana. He was not 100% coming off the injury. He's now a Heisman Trophy candidate at Washington, I believe playing his 6th year, if I'm any judge of that. as far as Penix is concerned. But it used to happen a lot more than it does now. But I think we're going to get more into that with these realignments and the complete expansion, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're going to see more conference games starting things off.
Yeah, I think so, and I like it. The other game you mentioned, Florida at Utah. Utah is a 4-point favorite. I do think, for different reasons, that's going to be a whale of a game too.
Ralph adds on the text line, things are crazy enough in college football. Do we really need delusional Nebraska fans thinking they are good? I think Nebraska's going to be good someday soon with Matt Rhule. I think he's just too good of a coach not to be good. And like I said before, a couple minutes ago, every fan base gets delusional when they are winning. It may be more prevalent west of the Missouri River, but every fan base is like that. 319-366-1600. And, yeah, with more teams, both coasts involved, and trying to maximize the viewership for the Big Ten, they agree that we will probably see more Thursday, Friday night games and more conference openers. I would agree. I don't think you're going to see Friday night games in Iowa City for sure. Iowa has played one in the past. It was not at home. Just too many obstacles. We've talked about this before as far as University Hospitals is concerned to have a home game at Kinnick Stadium on a Friday. But you never know. You never know. Hey, television dictates everything, right?
Well, it does, but there are a lot of obstacles in Iowa City. You know, probably not the only Big Ten town or city that has those issues, but they're real.
And John adds that, yes, you can still pick up those frost warning Scott Frost's posters somewhere, I'm sure, for what, 8-for-1 deal now in Lincoln or anywhere, Omaha, wherever it may be in the state of Nebraska, if they haven't gotten rid of them all by this time. 322, you mentioned Florida and Utah. Mark, you loved the Utah Utes last year. Are you still on the Utah Ute bandwagon?
I think they could be a player nationally, but I have my doubts about that. I think they're going to be a very good, solid team, but we'll see how solid tomorrow when it plays Florida.
I know they were discussing this on the ESPN national programming before we took over the airwaves here today. A lot of people thinking that Florida is going to be down again this year. I am not one of those. I am not saying that Florida is going to go to Salt Lake City and win. In fact, I think Utah is going to get the measure of the Gators. But even though they have Graham Mertz under center, I think Florida is going to be better this year. I think they're going to start their ascension yet again under Billy Napier. He's just like PJ Fleck. I think he's too good of a coach not to get that program going in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so too. And the beauty is that tomorrow night begins a long holiday weekend of many things, including college football. And really looking forward to it as things get underway in earnest.
Back-to-back Pac-12 champions for the Utah Utes, by the way. Did not envision that at all when they joined the conference. 319-366-1600. Of course, now they're headed off to the Big 12 next year. So they could win, conceivably, their last three. The last three Pac-12 titles that they belong in the league, and maybe the last one of the Pac-12 period, depending on what happens. You scoff, Isaac. You scoff, but they're still in intensive care right now, the Pac-12.
Yeah, I'm sure something's going to come up here. Something has to come up soon for the Pac-12. Otherwise, they are done.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, not to, you know, go off on a little tangent, but I always knew that Utah was a pretty good program.
You are a Utah person, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, well, my dad and his family are more Utah people, so other opposed to BYU or Utah State or anything. So, yeah, they've had a pretty good program. It's just now they're in, or they were in, you know, power. They weren't necessarily in a Power 5 conference, and now they've been able to flex a little bit. And, yeah, it's a pretty good program that they have in Utah there.
We should have advertised to other stations that you are a Utah native or, you know, Utah ties. So you could have gone on Utah radio this week and just, you know, talked about Utah State and Iowa. You should have done that. Fly your flag, man.
Yeah, I don't know how many. Do you know any people out in Utah for the
radio? We're having one on tomorrow.
That's true. You are. That is true. But that's Utah State. I don't know how much they want me to, you know, talk about Utah on there. I don't know much about Utah State. All I know is Jordan Love and Bobby Wagner. That's all he got for Utah State knowledge.
8445 says, obviously, I think a Cyclone fan or another fan base. An Iowa fan calling a Nebraska fan delusional is the pot calling the kettle black and gold. It's all in the eye of the beholder, I guess. 319-366-1600. Speaking of football, we got a very interesting poll question, Mark, at KGYMradio.com for people to ponder today. It is brought to you by our good friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They are Iowa's largest privately owned abstract and settlement company, providing real estate closing and title evidencing products to the legal, real estate, and lending industries. Thanks to Steve Anderson and everybody at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. This is a very interesting question because I guess this is going to possibly happen.
Poll is, would you go to a movie theater to watch a football game? Yes or no? And I vote no for the same reason I wouldn't go to Kinnick Stadium to watch a movie. Although I did take in several drive-in movies back in the day.
In the day. This is not a first, by the way, as far as sporting events at a movie theater. In the day, here, kids, in the day, Isaac, in the day, closed circuit TV and sporting events used to be shown in theaters. Did you know that?
No, but I didn't. Well, I used to work at a movie theater and we would show boxing there.
Oh, like pay-per-view boxing.
Yeah, pay-per-view boxing. I tried to convince them to get UFC on there. I don't think they ever. Before I left the movie theater, they did not end up doing that. But they did show boxing, and they've had they had one concert on there one time when I was working there too, which was a very, very strange. They had actually multiple concerts. They had the Grateful Dead, and they had someone else that I can't remember.
Okay. Well, I was talking about 60s.
It would be weird to have. Boxing makes sense because it's kind of like an expensive event. It's weird for me to imagine football or basketball or something like that.
Yeah, it would be different. It would be different, certainly. So go ahead and vote KGYMradio.com. We are going to talk fantasy football coming up here in just a little bit. If you have a fantasy baseball question for Chris, you can get that to him as well. But generally at this time of the year, we start looking forward to fantasy football. If you have a draft coming up, want to talk strategy, you had your draft, you want to get Chris's opinion on exactly what he believes, how you did, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead and get those questions ready to go for Chris at 319-366-1600. Right now, going to get ready to throw it to Mark for an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update. Plenty going on in Major League Baseball. We might hit that coming up in just a little bit as well before 4 o'clock. And Spencer comes on in for Spencer on Sports. And Emil Sideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, a classic local American restaurant. They're open at 4 o'clock. Fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering with curbside pickup and delivery. Open at 4 to 11, Monday through Saturday, Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast across from Lindale Mall. What do we got?
A couple games of Central Division consequences going on, at least one right now. One's final, one's in progress. The Cubs leading the Brewers 2-1, eighth inning. Brewers have bases loaded and two outs. Cleveland Guardians, I'm sorry, came from behind and beat the Twins 5-2 to win 2 of 3 in that series. Cole Calhoun hit a 3-run homer on a 3-0 pitch in the 10th inning to win it. The Guardians tied it on a 2-strike wild pitch in the 9th.
Ike.
Tennessee and Michigan State basketball programs will get together for an exhibition October 29th. Proceeds will benefit the Maui Fire Relief. Tough news for golf fans of Gary Woodland, the 2019 U.S. Open champion. Woodland will undergo brain surgery to hopefully repair a lesion that doctors have been trying to treat with medicine, but he will undergo brain surgery in the middle of next month. And finally, this will answer a question on the text line. Potential history tonight in Lincoln, Nebraska, as the Nebraska volleyball team tries to set an all-time all-sport attendance record. Nebraska will take on Omaha at Memorial Stadium. In 3 days, 82,000 tickets were sold to this particular event. $25 for an adult, $5 for children. That's around $2 million. But the stadium has a capacity of 85,000, but there is field seating because the court will be positioned on one end of the field. And as a, perhaps Isaac knows this,
ooh,
the world attendance record is 91,648 for a Champions League game, Barcelona and Real Madrid in 22. Nebraska hoping to top that tonight.
Did not know that was, that makes sense. Those are probably two of the biggest teams in the world, but I did not know that was the current record holder.
Now, for, because this is confusing, because there have been, I mean, is this a volleyball match or, I mean, the Rose Bowl seats over 100,000. Michigan and Ohio State seat over 100,000. So I'm confused by this. Help me out, Isaac.
I take it as a non-American football record.
Non-football.
Yeah. Is my understanding. I could be wrong.
Well, again, they got 300,000 in the seats at the Indy 500.
So. Man, I don't know. I'm not the one. Ask Mark. He's the one who had it on the scoreboard.
I'm not sure the parameters, but Nebraska is going to claim a world record if it exceeds that 91,000. We'll perhaps delve into that later if anybody's interested. But and of course, for a big event, there has to be a concert, Scott. Scotty McCreary going to perform.
Well, good for them. Good for them. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class. Already a couple of questions coming in for Chris Liss. He is going to join us next from Real Man Sports. So stay with us. More to come on a Wednesday midweek edition of the Gym Class. Back after this on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have a sunny, a little bit of a hazy, but nice day. Temperatures will be around 80 degrees and humidity will be nice and low. Tonight, we are going to have mostly clear skies and temperatures drop down into the upper 40s to near 50 degrees. Tomorrow will be another nice day, pretty much a repeat with sunny skies and temperatures around 80. We are going to have warmth building in for the weekend with temperatures heading into the 80s and 90s through Labor Day. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Think of everything you love about your life, the friends you care about, the experiences you crave. Now imagine it's gone in an instant. Because fentanyl's everywhere, in cocaine, heroin, meth, even illegal pills that look real. And you won't know until it's too late. When you use illicit drugs, fentanyl's the chance you take. Remember, you don't know what contains fentanyl. Learn more at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Hun, we need to stop putting off getting life insurance.
I know. It's just been so busy, and I'm sure the cost is out of our budget.
Well, Jen told me that they got a $500,000 term life insurance policy from Ethos for less than $23 a month. All online, with no complicated forms and no medical exam. All they had to do was answer a few health questions.
Wait, no medical exam and all online?
I know, right? It's not easy to think about, but if something happened to you, James and I would be...
Okay, I get it. Let's get a quote from Ethos right now. Wow, you were right. There's no medical exam. And Ethos makes the whole online process fast and easy. And look at these rates and coverage options. It's great protection and totally fits our budget.
Ethos. They've removed all the barriers from getting coverage. Go to checkethos.com to get your free online quote. That's checkethos.com.
Quote based on a healthy, non-smoking 30-year-old male with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary.
Back with you on the Gym Class, 3:37 on a Wednesday edition of the program. Going to talk Utah State football tomorrow with the beat writer for the Aggies from the Logan, Utah newspaper coming up on Thursday. And Rob Gray will join us to talk Iowa State football. Cyclones and you and I will kick it off on Saturday, 11 o'clock pregame, just past 1 o'clock with the kickoff right here on KGYM. Looking forward to that. We got the Before the Boom podcast available for you coming up on Friday. Go to kgymradio.com, Iowa and Utah State at 11 o'clock at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. Going to talk a little fantasy football right now. Chris Liss is kind enough to join us. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports-wise here on KGYM. And happy draft season to you, Chris. How you doing?
I'm in the thick of it. I have one coming up Friday, my biggest one. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, every day looking at what's going on and trying to figure out my plan.
There you go. Are you confident?
I feel pretty confident, yeah. I mean, one thing that people don't do that I think is super easy is you just look at the latest average draft position at whatever, you know, site you're using, whether it's ESPN. I use the NFFC. And then you just look at, you know, where you're picking and kind of look each round and kind of figure out who you're probably going to be choosing and have an idea of what you're going to do. You always want to be, like, quick on the clock. You know, you never want to be, like, panic picking with 5 seconds left. So I feel pretty good. I've identified who I like, and I'm kind of ready to pick them each round.
There you go.
Let's get right to the text line, Ralph in Riverside. Chris, are you big on Travis Etienne this year? And what about the Jags receiving corps?
So it's funny, I just wrote something about Travis Etienne. I was sort of out on him. I was like, this guy may be a little soft. He got hurt, and he was, you know, last year they didn't really give him a big workload and didn't throw to him a lot. They didn't trust him in pass protection. They're always bringing in James Hasty. But I started to change my mind because they draft Tank Bigsby with this high pick, 88 overall, and he's having a good camp. But that's exactly what you want. You want that early down guy to take sort of the ugly carries that don't get you a lot of points. And you want ETN to be in on third downs, getting those easy PPR points in near the goal line. And so now I'm back in. He's going in the fourth round, and I'm in. And I like Calvin Ridley, Kirk a little less. I don't really like the other receivers, maybe Ingram a little if you get him cheap. But I do think the Jags offense is going to be good this year.
Can you get Ridley cheap? Because obviously coming off the injury, maybe some people have kind of forgotten about him a little bit. I am bullish on Trevor Lawrence too.
Yeah, Lawrence is going as like a top six or seven QB, and he should be. And he was the number one pick. He was a generational prospect, and he had kind of the Mulligan Urban Meyer year. And then last year he showed who he was. And I think he's one of the rising star QBs. But Ridley is not cheap. I got Ridley in the fourth round in June. He's going in the late second in some leagues. So he's really climbed up. I think people were worried. You know, he had the sort of mental health issue, and then he was he got in trouble for betting on football, and people thought how is he? And then he's just been 100%. Back in camp, and so people, I'm kind of sold also. I kind of think he's fine, and he's happy to be back and on a good offense.
Chris, I want to get your thoughts on the fantasy possible impact of two quarterbacks, Sam Howell of Washington, Kenny Pickett of Pittsburgh.
So I don't have strong opinions on either one of those guys. I have them sort of in this bucket of who knows, maybe they could turn a corner. I mean, Howell's more of an unknown. Pickett played last year and showed a little bit of improvement at the end, and he does have weapons. So I don't have a strong opinion. There's some guys, like I love Daniel Jones. I would gamble on Anthony Richardson, even though his accuracy has been suspect in the preseason. I would gamble on, a bunch of these guys in that area. But those two guys, it's kind of like maybe, you never know, but I'm not really drafting them anywhere. It's certainly in a one QB league.
Yeah. Let's go to 1250 on the text line. If you have a question for Chris, go ahead and get it to us at 319-366-1600. They have the seventh pick in a 10-team PPR league, and they are looking at round three. Should they target guys like Mixon, Gibbs, or Harris? And I'm not sure if you need any.
That's Najee. Yeah. Najee. Well, I mean, I would probably go with Jahmyr Gibbs, but the thing is, it really depends. Is it PPR? Is it half PPR? That's really going to
make a big difference. Because, it is a PPR league.
If it's full PPR, I would probably go Gibbs there for the ceiling. But those guys are all, around the same value. They're close.
Chris, anything surprise you on the cuts? And then pickups off the waiver wire?
Well, I mean, just the obviously surprising thing was Jonathan Taylor going on PUP and us not knowing whether that was like some punitive thing or if he's really hurt and not ready to play. Like, I don't really know what's going on there in Indy. And, he was seeking a trade. And what do you do? Where do you draft him? I'm kind of tempted. Like, if he's there in, like, the seventh round and nobody wants to take a chance, just be like, okay, I'll wait four games. Maybe I'll get Jonathan Taylor. But – who knows if he's going to play all year? So that's a very weird situation.
87-53, is Algar worth a keeper spot with Bijan Robinson in the Falcons' backfield?
It really depends on parameters, like how deep your keepers are, how many spots you have. Yeah, I think he's going in like the 10th, 11th round in the NFSC because the Falcons have a very good offensive line and they run a lot. And if anything happens to Bijan, then, Algier will have some value. But it really just depends on the details.
Greg and Epworth would like to know your thoughts on a late-round tight end to look at.
I've been looking at Irv Smith super late. He's in Cincinnati. He seemed like he was going to break out on the Vikings, and he tore his ACL a couple of years ago. And then last year, he's kind of 1 year off from that coming back, and then they traded for Hockenson. And so he was kind of sidelined. But, the Bengals, they've got three receivers, but Boyd is, he's getting a little older. I think Irv Smith is the guy I always land on in like the 17th round.
It is a full point PPR league, Greg says. So if that makes a difference.
Yeah, I would go Gibbs over those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially over Mixon, who doesn't catch a ton of passes.
319-366-1600 at 344. It is the gym class here on KGYM as Chris Liss joining us right now. If you have a fantasy question about your upcoming draft or if you want Chris to grade your team, no, we can't go through the whole teams like that. I'm the only one that gets
automatic F.
Yeah, I'm the only one that gets to do that. That'll be coming up soon.
You'll get a grade. It'll be a harsh grade as usual, but you'll get a grade.
Every time you grade me harshly, though, I come through and it works.
You know, it's funny. The Fantasy Pros has this grading system, and I drafted this team's high stakes baseball team, and it gave me last place, like an F. And that team's now in first place. The grades don't matter. It really, really doesn't. Nobody knows anything before the season starts.
The proof is in the pudding. I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
12 teams in our league. I think I've got 10 or 11 pick. So we'll snake around. It'll be, 14 or 15 then coming back anyway. If the run on running backs is over by then, I mean, you just kind of – you got to just swallow your pride and maybe hope for somebody in the third, fourth, fifth round, start taking good wide receivers or, whoever at that point, right?
Well, we got to go over the exact parameters of the league, like how many running backs you start, how many receivers, all of that. But in the leagues I play, if I'm at the back end, I usually end up with two receivers. I end up with A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb, or A.J. Brown and Garrett Wilson. You get two stud receivers. And then 3-4, you can get Ramondre and ETN. You can get backs, afterward. The way the draft shakes out now is the really premium receivers are there early at the back end, and then there's still really good running backs in rounds 3 or 4, and then there's more receivers to take in, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, go big for a wide receiver instead of going for a, middle-of-the-road running back.
Yeah, that's what I would do, especially in a full PPR.
Chris, what are the Cowboys doing in releasing Will Greer, who had a hell of a preseason, including Game 3, and picked up Trey Lance?
Yeah, I mean, Lance, that's just such an – I wrote about that, too, because it's just so crazy, the whole story. They traded so much to get this number 3 pick to draft this guy, and he's thrown 101 attempts in his career – and they just dumped him for a fourth-round pick. I mean, he got no audition. And it's not like Joe Montana's there, and it's like, oh, he's blocked by Joe Montana, we should trade him. It's Brock Purdy, who's coming off a serious injury, and Sam Darnold. So this is bizarre. And I guess the Cowboys were like, look, maybe this guy is good. Who knows? Nobody really knows yet. But he had 100 attempts, and he got hurt, over 2 years. So, I would gamble on Lance, too, if I were the Cowboys. Why not? I mean, what if he's good?
True. I would gamble. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, he's not happy. Who knows if he's going to end up in Indy. He's going to end up somewhere. We know that. And he's going to be running the football, and he's going to be doing Jonathan Taylor things. I'm still big on Jonathan Taylor. Are you?
I'm kind of in. But the thing is with these things, you just don't know. Why was he on PUP? Is he really still injured? What if he's, who says he's going to come back right when that's over? Maybe he's out 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Maybe you got the worst player you can have as a player. I remember David Johnson got hurt in week 1, but it was like a thumb injury or something, that we thought he'd come back, and he never did. So not only did you lose your first overall pick or whatever, but you had to clog a roster spot the whole year with him, hoping he's going to come back. And that's a terrible risk, right? What if Taylor's not back in week 5? You're going to drop him. Then what if they're like, well, maybe week 8? And then you hold them to week 8. It's like, well, maybe week 10. So this is a big problem. So I don't know, but I do. I think you're right, Scott. I mean, he's a great running back, and if and when he's healthy, he's going to be. He's going to produce.
Let's go back to the text line 7089. Chris, would you take a quarterback or wide receiver as your first pick in a non-PPR league?
It really depends on how many teams and how many receivers you start. If you started four, three receivers, a flex, and two running backs, I would probably take the receiver. But if you started two running backs and two receivers, and one quarterback, I would take the quarterback. The ratio of position players to quarterback matters for a question like that.
Yeah. And then 3695, they are in a dynasty super flex league. How about that? In a vacuum, whose upside do you like better, Bryce Young or Smith Najigba?
I mean, I would go with the QB. just because it's a QB flex, and also QBs have the longest careers. Smith and Njigba might be a superstar. I mean, who knows? I mean, he's a first-round pick, but I think in the QB, I think you take any starting QB in the QB in the super flex.
Speaking of QBs, how do you like Justin Fields going into the year?
So I really like Justin Fields. I like that they got DJ Moore. But I just worry about him because this guy plays like, you know, like he's Marion the Barbarian. You remember Marion Barber?
Yes.
He just takes so many hits, and he's an amazing runner. But, like, you know, the quarterback just can only get away with that so long before someone injures him. And so if I knew every QB would be healthy this year magically, I'd probably have him like QB3. But I have him more like QB6 because I just expect him to miss some time. He and Lamar Jackson both, I think those guys could be 1-2 if they're healthy all year.
Chris, what do you rank Aaron Rodgers? Not in smack talk on Hard Knocks, but otherwise.
I mean, fantasy-wise, probably like QB 15 or 14. He doesn't really run anymore. He used to, used to be a little bit like Mahomes, where he would, you know, add a few hundred yards rushing and three, four touchdowns. But that's kind of over. He always used to love to throw in the red zone. I don't know what the Jets' offensive system is going to do, but I think the ceiling is probably a little bit more limited. Plus, the Jets have a good defense.
Yeah. Are you at a cocktail party or something?
Yeah, I am. It's actually my wife and her friends being super loud, and so I just scolded them. But yeah, no, they're fine. We're actually not really at a party. We're at this. It's hard to describe, but yeah, we're in this bar and the outside. I'm in the corner, so I'm not bothering anybody, basically.
And answering fantasy football questions is.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, it's good. I'm in Portugal. You know, back I was in France last time I talked to you guys, but now I'm in Portugal.
Now you're back. Now you're back in Portugal.
Yeah.
Isaac, do you have any Portuguese soccer questions for Chris at this time? No? Whoops, sorry. Go ahead.
Not that I can think of.
Okay,
no.
All right. So save those.
Good, because I don't know anything. I should. I want to start following it, but I just don't have the bandwidth. I'm watching baseball, football, basketball.
Yeah, you probably know basketball. You probably at least know Ronaldo. That's about all you need to know for Portuguese soccer.
I know Ronaldo. Yeah, I know Ronaldo.
All right. All right, Chris, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Next week, we will answer lineup questions. Looking forward to that. And always looking forward to you giving my team a horrible grade after I draft them next Tuesday night.
We'll do it. Maybe you'll get the dreaded good grade, so be careful. Be careful what you wish for, Scott.
We'll see. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Right. Before I let you go, tell us a little bit about what you have there at Real Man Sports.
Yeah, realmansports.com. Latest article was all the bets I just made. I just made a whole bunch of bets, players to win, receiving yardage, et cetera. And I'm going to be posting my drafts and some more Survivor and everything else this coming week. So realmansports.com.
All right, check it out. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Have fun. We'll talk next week. All right, Chris Liss joining us here from a cocktail party in Portugal. If you have your bingo card for the gym class, please scratch off talking to guest at cocktail party in Portugal.
You just can't get that anywhere, morning, noon, or night, right?
No. I mean, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And he took time out to answer questions.
Yeah, it's night over there in Portugal. By the way, Scott, I have the answer to the Nebraska volleyball discussion that we had in terms of setting a world record.
Okay.
Specifically, it's the women's sporting event attendance record. That was that Barcelona-Real Madrid game.
That makes sense.
Just so you know.
That makes sense. So thank you for looking that up, Mark. Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break, come back, get you the latest in baseball, and wrap things up for you after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
O'Reilly Auto Parts' new Brake Mess Select Pro brand raises the bar for the best aftermarket domestic brake pads and rotors available. For vehicle-specific friction formulations, Quiet-Tech noise-canceling shims, and stainless steel hardware, choose Brake Mess Select Pro. Professional-grade brakes from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. At the Home Depot, Saturdays are about two things. Getting projects done right with Behr Premium Plus interior paint.
And football.
That's right, Kirk Herbstreit. And with Behr's wall-to-wall coverage and long-lasting durable finish, you'll spend less time worrying about your walls.
Which means more time for football.
For football. Upgrade your Saturday with Behr and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Back with you to close out this Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thanks for all the interaction. Do appreciate it. Looking forward to tomorrow's show as we are going to talk Utah State football with Jason Turner. He, of course, covers the Utah State Aggies. He's their beat writer from the Logan newspaper over in Logan, Utah. And Rob Gray is going to join us coming up tomorrow from Cyclone Fanatic and the Gazette. Covers Iowa State football, basketball, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll look ahead to Iowa State and UNI coming up on Saturday. So a lot to get to tomorrow. And then Friday, it will be our first edition of 2023 of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Always fun, educational, and a good time. So we will do that coming up on Friday. The very unhappy Spencer Wagon will be coming in next with Spencer on Sports because I'm sure he just saw how the Cubs won over the Brewers a little bit ago, Mark. 3-2. It's almost to the point where I can hear Harry saying, the good Lord wants the Cubs to win at this point.
Something like that. But the Cubs now three games behind Milwaukee, winning two straight one-run games.
Yeah, Kyle Hendricks out-dueling Woodruff today. So Spencer's on from 4 until 6, and then we'll be back coming up tomorrow with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And we'll be college football in not in earnest, but we got those Thursday night games headed by Minnesota and Nebraska tomorrow. So, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a good time, I think, up in Minneapolis. And a lot of eyeballs going to be on that. I'm going to keep at least your eye on that one while we're out at Kingston on Thursday night. For although you might be out there, too, with the Jayhawks. So you may have to do double duty and just give me hand signals or something, Mark, when things, you know, give me the score for Minnesota-Nebraska.
I'm undecided right now.
It's going to be a beautiful night.
It is.
Beautiful night. Before it gets hotter than heck coming up on Saturday. By the way, I know that Iowa tweeted out something a little bit earlier on today. First 10,000 people are going to receive a water bottle at go to Kinnick Stadium, and they're going to have the hydration stations ready to go on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. I would imagine something like that's going to be at Jack Trice as well. I do not know if it's going to be available for Coke Cornell, Mark, which has been moved up to 11 o'clock, by the way, Quahog and Ram fans, for the longest rivalry west of the Mississippi River, which will be renewed on Saturday morning.
Yeah, in Iowa City, there's anticipated construction and traffic delays, possibility anyway. So consult Hawkeye websites to get where those details are.
Yeah, leave early. That's the best advice. All right. Hope you enjoyed it. We're back tomorrow at 3. Spencer is next here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/play. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. Must be 20.